I'm very happy now to welcome Deborah Eden Tull. She is author of the new book, The Natural Kitchen, Your Guide to the Sustainable Food Revolution. And she's here in Santa Fe, and she'll be leading a workshop at Ampersand Sustainable Living Center in Cerrillos this coming Saturday, November 6th, from 10 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks. It's really nice to be here.
This is a wonderful book. It wasn't at all like any book that I have read, and a lot of cookbooks and food books have come across my desk. And it starts out, and I think this permeates the book, that you were for many years in a Zen monastery, and you kind of bring the spirit of awareness to the kitchen.
Yes, I spent 7 years as a Zen monk and was a cook and head gardener and wore many other hats during that time. But the spirit of the book really comes from the spirit of mindfulness, of mindful living. And if we consider the kitchen is really the hearth of our homes, how we are in relationship with food, which is a basic relationship all of us have in our lives, really sets the tone for the rest of our lives, I find.
And it sets the tone for how the earth is used. There's a quotation in your book that says something like, the way that we eat really pretty much determines the way of so much of the earth.
Yeah, it's a Wendell Berry quote that I love. How we eat determines to a considerable extent how the world gets used. And so here we are, so many of us, trying to take steps to be living more sustainably. There's a lot more information out there in the past few years than ever before around how to do that with food. But there are a lot of missing pieces that I tried to fill in with this book. And one of the most important being the notion of mindfulness, and how to bring mindfulness to our kitchens, and really just a deeper awareness as we're cooking our food, as we're choosing our food, as we're disposing of our food, eating our food. Yeah, all of that.
You make a distinction between being a passive consumer and being a steward of the earth, and that's certainly something that many people have written about and talked about in terms of the environmental movement, but specifically in terms of eating and keeping your kitchen. How have you developed that idea?
Sure, yeah. Well, I grew up in the city of Los Angeles, and after being a monk, I moved back to LA, which was quite a culture shock. And I feel like we can see so much in a city like Los Angeles and in cities everywhere of how our relationship with food is a really clear reflection of the degree to which we're being passive consumers. So we can shift it if we start with food and we become what I call an earth steward. It really kind of permeates into every other aspect of our lives. And it has a lot to do with just when you sit down to a meal and you open your mind to going deeper. This is way more than just the food I see on this plate. It's about interconnection. It connects me to the soil the food came from and the honeybees that pollinated the food and the farmers and all of that. Then we're simply begin to live in more of an interconnected world and make choices. Even if we're already living green, it impacts our choices.
And so what does that look like when you think about trying to do that and go there? Where does it start?
Well, there's a section in the book on green menu planning, and there's another section in the book on how to set up a sustainable kitchen. And we could start with those parts because a lot of people have the intention, you know, to be living more green, but it all kind of comes down to convenience and busyness. And I can make the conscious choices when I have time, but when I'm busy or stressed out or just caught up in my work week, I'm going to make some less conscious decisions or end up doing more packaging, creating more trash, not cooking with energy efficiency in mind, all of this kind of stuff. So if we have a green menu planning, sort of a time in our week that's literally a ritual set aside every Sunday, you're taking an hour to bring consciousness to what does my week look like, what are my needs around food, and creating a loose or a really specific menu that's going to be about all the food choices matching my values. It's going to be about recycling food, how I'm cooking the food.
What do you mean by recycling food?
Well, you know, composting is one step. It's wonderful. It can cut down on our trash by 50%. But a lot of people cook without even using the whole of a vegetable, you know, just toss scraps, turning things into stock, looking at how to use all leftovers. For instance, at the monastery where I trained, we really created zero food waste. Everything that was used from what was recycled into another meal. And just that kind of mentality begins to deepen our practice, again, as earth stewards, of seeing every source of energy in our lives as useful, not as trash.
It's very hard, I would have to say, being somebody who goes to Trader Joe's, which is right down the street from where we're sitting right now, mm-hmm. right down the parking lot, and buying a pound of salami, which has a plastic wrapper on it, and it's so delicious. But to get around the whole plastic thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the plastic thing is a big one. And I invite people really to just see how far they want to go with it and find their own middle way and really let go of the guilt of what everyone thinks they should be doing more. But for me personally, you know, I've made a commitment to be free of plastics in my kitchen a long time ago. And I noticed that they just kind of would trickle in here and there. It's a hard thing to get away from. We live in a plastic world. So recently I realized I could go a step further if I make one change in my diet, and that is plastic was coming through in yogurt containers. So 2 weeks ago I started making my own yogurt. Now plastic free. So what would it be for other people? What would be the one change, right, that would help them to let go of plastic?
And yeah. Mine was I bought one of those water carbonators because I go through a ton of carbonated water, and I haven't thrown away very many plastic bottles since then.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, that's a perfect example.
Nevertheless, our food is packaged unless you make a commitment to buy only farmers market food mm-hmm. that you bring your bags and so on. And mm-hmm. and even then, there's at the very least paper, and you can kind of drive yourself crazy.
Well, you can drive yourself crazy, or you can turn it into a gain. So again, there's farmers market food, you know, there's bulk bins, all of this, bringing your own containers. But really, again, the taking an hour each week, taking a time to literally plan what you're going to eat that week makes a big difference in people's lives, because then you can make a commitment to a zero waste life. When I first moved back to LA after being a monk, I was surprised at how much trash I created in the first 2 weeks, and I lived simply. So I made a commitment for 1 month to create zero trash. And I was successful, except for like toilet paper and a little bag at the end of things I turned into an art project. But otherwise, if that's your intention and you commit to it, and you commit to it on a week-by-week basis, you can say, okay, I usually buy these sauces at Trader Joe's, but I could make this particular sauce. I have some great recipes in the book. Instead, plan this menu that's around that and a couple of other basic soups and one-pot meals and great array of vegetables. And I've created no trash this week.
Very
and it feels so much better. It's a game.
We're talking to Deborah Eden Tull. Her book is called The Natural Kitchen, Your Guide to the Sustainable Food Revolution. What is the difference between organic and sustainable organic? That's a distinction you make in your book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just that, you know, there's a lot of questions coming up right now in terms of the direction of the certified organics movement. I even know some farmers who have let go of their certification because they're not sure if they're in alignment with the direction. And I know other farmers who are organic. They're on small, sustainable organic farms, but they can't afford the certification. So it's really that I would encourage everyone, and I offer a chapter in the book that does this, just to have a basic, really grounded education on sustainable agriculture. This is where our food comes from. So you know what to ask farmers, so you know if they're really practicing giving back to the soil and giving back to nature in ways that makes up the foundation of sustainable organic agriculture versus a big farm that's wonderful if it's organic, but if it's still doing the packaging and shipping far away or still bringing in some degree of synthetic fertilizers, it's not as great.
I was thinking that I was going to say to you, how can anyone find the time to do this? And then I started looking at my own time, and I have a ridiculously mm-hmm. busy life and mm-hmm. not as busy a life as people who are doing 2 and 3 jobs. But then I was thinking, there's television, mm-hmm. which takes up a lot of time, and you can just turn that thing off and start thinking about your food and your waste and all of that. And there's also the amount of time that people devote to things like shopping choices in other areas. Like, which digital camera am I going to buy? Or
yes.
which, you know, consumer yes. product am I going to buy? Mm-hmm. And integrating this thinking about restoring the earth through your eating choices mm-hmm. is kind of part of that.
It is. Well, and it brings us back to what we started off talking about, which is mindfulness, in that if we stop seeing our meal as just sort of, okay, for a lot of people, they kind of just get caught up in the stream of their day. A lot of people in our culture might not be living as present moment as they want to be. So they're kind of caught up in the stream. Mealtime's just time to quickly replenish myself or something to get through before my next appointment or whatever it is. If we start really approaching it more as a more important time, a time when I can stop, really be present with my food and myself, it replenishes you greatly on all levels, emotional, physical, spiritual. If you use your mealtime for that, it actually helps people to slow down and have more time in their day. So again, it's about approaching it with more mindfulness.
There is, and we just passed election day, and people have their opinions and their worries and their happinesses about what happened here and in the rest of the country. But as I was reading your book, the day after election day, I was thinking, you know, this is really where the cutting edge stuff is happening, is people thinking about the individual choices they're making and a population with that kind of awareness then becomes a population that starts voting differently and starts thinking differently and pushes policymakers to do the right thing.
Yes. Yeah, and I have an old teacher of mine, an activist named Helena Norberg-Hodge, who used to say, you know, the problem isn't overpopulation so much. The issue is that we need more eyes per acre. We simply need more conscious people, more conscious citizens, more people who have the education about these issues and, again, are wanting to be earth stewards. And then, yeah, that completely impacts the vote. That completely impacts the big picture.
So what was it like for you to move from a Zen monastery to Los Angeles?
Well, that's a big question. It was a really big transition and a bit of culture shock at first. I had left L.A. when I was very young, 17, vowing to never live in that kind of environment again. And it was also quite exciting because I landed in L.A. and I just felt the call to serve there at this time. And I noticed that we're just at a point when people are more ready for this information, more ready for consciousness, more ready to make practical, real changes. They're ready to feel better about how they're living their lives, to feel more satisfied and at peace at the end of the day with what their contribution has been. So it was a perfect time to land there, and my work was very, very, very well received. And it's been really neat to be part of the change happening there and across the country, globally. It's happening everywhere in terms of the sustainable food revolution and sustainability in general.
Deborah Eden Tull is author of the book, The Natural Kitchen, Your Guide to the Sustainable Food Revolution. And she will be leading a workshop at Ampersand Sustainable Living Center in Cerrillos. For more on that, you can go to ampersandproject.org. You can also go to Deborah's website, deborahedentull.com.
Yes.
And just very quickly, what will you be teaching?
Oh, great. So this workshop is called The Natural Kitchen, an invitation to join a peaceful food revolution. And we'll be going through, of course, we'll start with mindfulness and what mindful eating and mindful cooking is and how to incorporate that into our lives, which just makes the whole experience of food so much more enjoyable and helps us to get present to our lives in general. And then we'll go into the specifics. How do we want to be making conscious food buying choices, cooking with energy efficiency in mind, doing menu planning, storing food, all of that. Tips for parents and kids as well.
And for more information, you can also call 505-780-0535. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz.